She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval, eternal potency of the Lord. This is a verse from Brihad Gautamiya Tantra, a Vedic literature. Srila Prabhupada does not really give a purport other than just to say that. That it's a verse from Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. However, the thing is, and the reason is perhaps, why Srila Prabhupada did not directly give a purport is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has himself given a purport in the form of the next so many verses, which are elaborately going through this verse and really clarifying very beautifully the meaning in depth. So let us read those few verses. Devi kahi jyotamaya parama sundari kimva krishna puja krida vasati nagari. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishna Mai Krishna Yara Bitare Bahire Yanha Yanha Nature Pade Tana Krishna Spure. Krishna Mai means one who is within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Kimva prema rasa maya Krishnera swarupa Tanra shakti tanra saha haya ekarupa. Or Krishna Mayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Krishna Vancha Purti Rupa Kare Aradhane Ata Eva Radhika Nama Purane Vakane. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Radhika means one who worships, literally. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yannovi Haya Govinda Prito Yamanayad Raha. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. Ata eva sarva puja parama devata sarva palika sarva jagatira mata. Therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the Supreme Goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I'll just read another couple of verses, a little more general, still commenting on that particular verse 83. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus, Radha and Lord Krishna are one. Yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. I will read that verse again. I shall read the first two verses again, 82 and 83. Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvasva Sarva, Kanta Shiromani. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of all his consorts. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta, Radhika Paradevata, Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva, Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttadeshanati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachari Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pasthitya Deshanati Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Siddhartha Sri Vasudevi Gauravani Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Hare So certainly, we offer our humble obeisances at the most beautiful and most extraordinary lotus feet, divine lotus feet, of Srimati Radharani. Her position in a number of very important ways has been drawn out nicely in that sequence of verses that we read. It's very beautiful. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. She is part of Krishna. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, well, at least there's one well-known occasion recorded, documented. Srila Prabhupada was seated giving a class to a group of devotees, something like here this evening, and Srila Prabhupada raised a question: who is God? Now you might think, why is Prabhupada asking a group of devotees? Why not in a public program you could ask that question perhaps, and it might be a real question and test the people. But Prabhupada asked the devotees, who is God? And so many devotees just put their hands up just like that, because it's just too obvious, isn't it? It's just too obvious altogether. Krishna is God. Prabhupada said no. Prabhupada said no. And devotees became a little bewildered. What on earth is this now? Then Srila Prabhupada said, Radha Krishna is God. Radha Krishna is God. And ultimately it's like that. Srimati Radharani is part of Krishna. She is his Pladni Shakti, his pleasure potency. We all, every one of us here, each one of us, we have some type of pleasure potency, meaning sometimes, different times or in different situations, they arouse some pleasure in us. And then we feel, oh yes, feel some enjoyment. So, how is it that we have some pleasure potency? It is because Krishna has a pleasure potency, and we are, so to speak, modeled after Krishna. He has two eyes. We have two eyes. Look at that. We have one nose, he has one nose. And we have two ears, he has two ears. Oh gosh. Two arms. We are modeled after Krishna. So we also have minds, he has a mind. And we have emotions, he has emotions. We are modeled after him, and he has a pleasure potency. Therefore, we, every one of us, has a pleasure potency. Even the most miserable person. I shouldn't ask this, but who is the most miserable person in ISKCON, Phoenix? Anyway, it's okay. Don't worry about that. But even the most miserable person who is just depressed and distressed and tormented, they also have a pleasure potency. They get pleasure out of something. So where's it coming from? It's coming from Krishna, but particularly in this context, in the sense that we are modeled after Krishna. In our own little ways, we are like little sort of Krishnas. Not really, but again, it is. We are little people with potencies and desires, just like Krishna, but on a very small scale. And we have a pleasure potency also. So our pleasure potency is quite limited, of course. No matter what you try to enjoy in this material world, whatever it may be, but the actual experience of joy and pleasure that we get is really quite limited. Quite limited. But Krishna, well, he is unlimited. We are limited in all respects. So our pleasure potency is limited. He is unlimited in all respects. So his pleasure potency is also unlimited. But now, a very interesting fact, and this is really the point here, is that Lord Krishna, in order to increase the whole experience of pleasure, of enjoyment, of relishing nectar, in order to increase everything, Lord Krishna manifests his pleasure potency external to himself in the form of a person. This is Srimati Radharani. Yes. In order to increase the ecstasy, the pleasure potency in the form of Srimati Radharani is conscious, is very personal, is highly creative. So that pleasure potency in the form of Srimati Radharani being highly creative thinks of so many ways to conduct herself so that Krishna's pleasure is increased, and then more, and then more. So it's not a static situation, it is an ecstatic situation, actually. Yeah. Not static, highly ecstatic. So who is Srimati Radharani then? She is part of Krishna, part of his person, part of him, actually. We are not in the same way. We are his marginal potency. We are much more separate than Radharani. She is directly part of Krishna. Just as our hand is directly part of our body, Srimati Radharani is directly part of Krishna. So in that sense, she is not exactly another person, but she is part of him. But manifest in that way, as a person, and fully, fully dedicated to giving Krishna pleasure in so many ways, she knows nothing else but giving Krishna pleasure. Unlike us, she does not have a marginal tendency. She's part of Krishna. She's not like us. We are sort of, you know, we could go this way, we could go that way, and we went that way. Means the wrong way. For a long time, because we are marginal. We have that option, and took the option in the wrong way. Because we have that capacity. It is just built in to our natures. Radharani does not have that capacity. She's also known, well, she's known as Radharani, the queen of worshippers. She is also Bhakti Devi. She is the presiding deity of devotional service. Because that's what she is. She is essentially made She is composed of, she consists of devotional service. She is bhakti through and through. That's what she is. So Srimati Radharani, she's a very amazing person. Very amazing person. We read those verses. The one verse says, she is the be-all and end-all of Lord Govinda. Of course, we note in that verse, the word Govinda is used for Krishna. Could have said Krishna, but no, said Govinda. Why? Because Govinda means he who gives pleasure to the senses, to all beings. But this term Govinda is used here in relation to Radharani because to bring out this point that she is giving pleasure to Krishna. Krishna is giving pleasure to everyone else. Where does he get his pleasure from? He gets it from Radharani. And to what degree? To the degree that he is completely enchanted. As the second verse said, she has all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. Isn't that amazing? It is just amazing. Srimati Radharani is a very, very amazing person. And she is overseeing the process of devotional service. And she appreciates when anyone does even a little devotional service, Radharani is watching. You know what? She's watching all of us here. She's watching me, and she's thinking, what is this fellow going to say? I hope he's going to be alert or awake. And he's watching all of you. I mean, she's watching all of you and thinking, okay, is he listening? Is she, what's she doing? Like this. And when she sees a little spark of interest, oh, she's so happy. Because that is what she is. She is just made of love. Means made of devotional service. Because devotional service, love, these are basically synonyms. It's the same thing in the form of two words. So, Srila Prabhupada in one Radhasthami Day talk, he discusses this point, how Radharani, because her sole interest is pleasing Krishna through devotional service. Prabhupada makes a point, when she sees you, that's you. It's all of you actually. Doing a little devotional service, Radharani is so pleased, just so happy, so extremely happy. Because that's her interest. That's what she wants to see happen. And when she has no other interest in anything else happening. So when she sees it happen, oh well. That's her life. So she's extremely appreciative. And Prabhupada makes the point that even if you render a little devotional service, and maybe you're not in such a good mood, you know, maybe the person in charge, like the temple commander, who's the temple commander here? You don't know. You're not a local. You're from Chatsworth. Are you not? And I know where it is. Is it Prabhu? Prabhu? Anyway, whoever it is, you know, here we are on September the 5th, Monday, work tomorrow, ho-hum. And the program goes on till whenever it goes on, and then there's prasadam, and, you know, lots of devotees, lots of prasadam. And at the end, everyone's going home, you're going home. And Prabhu Prabhu says, and you just walk out of the door, practically the last one out, late at night, can you wash the pots, please? And your mind, it's just your mind, it's not really you. But your mind says, what? And words to that effect. Why me? And, you know, it's not fair, and maybe even a lot worse. But maybe you do it. Even though when you do it, you're not happy, you're looking at your watch, so on and so forth. But Radharani sees it. And she doesn't, she's not really so conscious of, you know, your mind and all its distress and disturbance. She is conscious that, look, here's my devotee cleaning Krishna's pots. How wonderful! And so Radharani then goes to Krishna. Your mind may be protesting in different ways, but Radharani goes to Krishna and says, Krishna, in Phoenix, there is one very nice devotee named Ramkinkari Prabhu. I'm not suggesting that you should wash all the pots. Anyway, there is one very nice devotee named Ramkinkari Prabhu. And I want you to accept him into your entourage. And Krishna immediately snaps to attention. Yes. Accept Ramkinkari. Yes. And he accepts you. And it's done. Now you're part of the Lord's entourage. You're part of the inner circle. Part of the team. Yeah? On the request of Radharani. Because, well, we read, she is the be-all and end-all of Krishna. She is the enchantress. She enchants Krishna so much that she, whatever she says, Krishna immediately, yes. He doesn't. And he doesn't argue. Ramkinka? Well, I don't know how many months he should have. Is he doing this? He does. Without offenses. Krishna doesn't get into all these details. If Radharani gives the recommendation, you know. So Prabhupada makes this point that Prabhupada says, you may be fool and rascal number one. So we're not talking about Ramkinkari. But you may be fool and rascal number one. But if Radharani gives that recommendation, you do a little service, it catches her attention, then immediately Krishna. Immediately he accepts you, and then it's done. Back home, back to Godhead. And whatever accumulated nonsense and karma and other things may still be left in your being, it's all just burnt up on the spot. Done. It's all done. Completely a done deal. Back home, back to Godhead. This is Srimati Radharani. She's so wonderful. Her character is so wonderful. Of course, we know people, some people, they think that Radha Krishna is just girl, boy, as we see here in Phoenix. I'm not meaning at the temple, but here in Phoenix, boy meets girl, and so on and so forth. These things are going on, it's material. So many people think it's like that. In fact, Prabhupada once was at some gathering in which there were some scholars who were studying some of the Goswami's writings and Radha Krishna Leela. So this one scholar, materialistic man, came up to Prabhupada and giving Prabhupada, you know, a sort of like a knowing wink. Nudging, hey, right. Oh, Radha and Krishna. Oh, in past times. Oh. This is not a subject for brahmacharis, is it? Because he thinks it's like that. It's just girl and boy and something and this is something. So, it's not for brahmacharis. Prabhupada replied, it is only for brahmacharis. Means, people who are really serious about spiritual life and who are on the spiritual platform like that. Yes, so, Srimati Radharani, her character is so exalted in love for Krishna, and she is such a great devotee, and she is such a humble devotee, she doesn't think that I'm a big devotee, I'm important, I'm advanced. She thinks, who am I? And so oftentimes, Prabhupada makes the point, oftentimes, in the conjugal pastimes, Radharani is thinking, who of the gopis should meet with Krishna to dance with him or some conjugal interactions? Who is the right girl now? And she doesn't think it's me, so I'll just go to Krishna. She thinks it's some other gopi. And she takes that other gopi and pushes her forward. You go and meet with Krishna. You dance with Krishna. You have some conjugal pastimes. You embrace Krishna, be embraced by him. If it was just a matter of ordinary boy and girl, I think we all know enough about these things to know that if there are two girls and one boy, this is a recipe for trouble. And the two girls, if they're sort of competing, trying to get, snag the boy and get him away from the other girl, what's the likelihood that one of them is going to say to the other girl, you go and meet with him? No way. Unless she knows he's just a real schmuck. But that's another thing. But that's not the case here. So the Radharani, just see, this is proof of the purity of Radharani's love. It is proof of the purity of the love of the gopis. That they do things like this. We are discussing this morning in Radharani how when Krishna played the flute and called the gopis on the first night of the Sharad season, They were busy dressing and putting on different jewelry and ornaments and different cosmetics. And, you know, of course, I was saying yesterday, I don't know so much about these things. Maybe some of you who are householders know a lot more than me, I'm sure you do, that ladies, when they sit down in front of a mirror with cosmetics, well, it could take some time. Is that right? Oh, he says it's right. I'll tell you why. And they may have to go to some program, and he's ready on time. But she, I gotta try a different this and a different that, and this is not right, and just hold on, and I won't be long, and I'm just gonna, where are those other bangles? And so they end up being late. And when they arrive, the people look at them like, what happened to you? And he can't say, it wasn't me, it was my wife. He's just implicated. So they also, the gopis, they spend long time trying all different decorative arrangements because they know Krishna is pleased by their beauty. It is actually an expression of their love. It is not an expression of their desire to somehow or other hook this guy and get him signed up, you know, marriage contract, before he's had a chance to really think about things. You know, do I really want to do this? And then the next day, well, maybe not the next day, but the next day after the honeymoon, breakfast time, there she is with her curls on, cigarette hanging out of her. Excuse me, ladies. See, the thing is, it's not me, it's not some of them. So, anyway, the gopis, they can sit for hours and days preparing themselves. They could do it. And the gopis were doing it. But then Krishna played the flute. And they didn't say, okay, Krishna, we heard you first time. Give us another 5 minutes, we give us another 15. They dropped everything and ran. Even though their decoration, etc., was not finished, some of them had a kajal on one eye and not on the other. And they didn't say, you know, give me 30 seconds and I'll just finish the other eye. No. They ran. And you can imagine coming in front of Krishna with kajal on one eye, here I am. He might just laugh at you. And want to speak what? To speak of things. Some of them didn't even have their clothes on properly at all. And they just grabbed whatever was closest and stuck it on. And Prabhupada explains, some of them put the bottom part of clothing on the top of the body. And the top part of the clothing on the bottom of the body. And really, you just think about that. You know, if you think kajal only on one eye looks strange, that's really strange. So, but when they knew Krishna wants us and he wants us now, they literally dropped everything on the very spot and ran. Why? because they knew Krishna wants us now. And it's not that, you know, it's my program, I'm getting myself together for my purposes, so I will take my time. If they were in that sort of consciousness, they would have just told Krishna to wait or something like that. But because their idea was to please Krishna, and the signal, you know, was the flute. Now Krishna needs us now. So immediately they ran and dropped everything. This shows it's pure love. And it's not just some selfish, lusty program to sort of promote oneself in the eyes of the opposite sex. So pure love is simply that desire to please Krishna without any consideration at all for one's own pleasure or anything to do with oneself. What will the consequences be? It's not taken into consideration. Only consideration is to please Krishna. So Srimati Radharani, she is the emblem of that mood of simply, exclusively being interested in pleasing Krishna. Therefore, in that sense, she is the most chaste. And, you know, as a woman, she has the most womanly integrity. She has the most feminine integrity, only totally dedicated to Krishna, no thought of anyone else at all. One time, Jatila, have you heard of Jatila? Did you ever hear of Jatila? Okay. Jatila and her daughter Kutila, they were really getting upset because either Radharani was sneaking out to meet Krishna, or Krishna was sneaking in to meet Radharani. So they stuck Radharani in her rooms, locked the door from the outside, and said, you know, when it's meal time, we'll just, you know, somehow or other pass it through to you. But this is it. You are not going anywhere ever again. Because it's too much, and we've had enough. So Radharani was very distraught. And so was Krishna. Separated from Radharani, Krishna was completely overwhelmed. And eventually he just felt unconscious. Like he's in a coma type of condition. So eventually everyone got very worried about Krishna. What happened? He's sick. Some terrible disease. Purnamasi came and said, I know what can cure this very drastic disease that Krishna has. It's kind of a mystical process, the cure. But Purnamasi said, what we need is a chaste lady. And she must take a bucket to the Yamuna and fill it with Yamuna water and take it and pour it on Krishna. However, sounds easy, doesn't it? There is a catch. The bucket has 100 holes. And what will keep the water in is the chastity of the lady. So we need volunteers. Who's chaste around here? So, take a wild guess who volunteered. Jatila and Kutila. We're chaste. We're chaste. We're very chaste. So everyone gathered. They all went down to the Yamuna. Jatila, because she's the oldest, took the bucket with 100 holes, went into the Yamuna, filled it up with water, came out. By the time she was out, all the water was out. And everyone looked at her and just walked with light. You are not chaste. And Kutila didn't know what to say. She just sort of snuck away quietly. And then someone said, what about her daughter, Kutila? She volunteered also. But Kutila had already headed for the hills. Actually, Kutila thought, let me practice. She got a bucket and made 50 holes in it. It's a practice round, not the full thing. And when, while no one was watching, she went down to the river and tried. But sure enough, all the water just poured out. Then someone said, what about Srimati Radharani? She's very chaste. And Jatila and Kutila just went, oh, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. But everyone said, yeah, right, okay, Radharani, let's try with her. So Radharani took the same bucket with 100 holes, went into the Yamuna, filled it up with water, came walking out with the bucket. None of the water came out. And she walked all the way to the underground. None of the water came out. And then she poured it over Krishna. Krishna immediately came back to consciousness. So, Srimati Radharani, she's very exceptional, extraordinary person. And there's so many pastimes, as you know, there's so many pastimes we could stay here the whole night. But let's mention one or two small things. Krishna sometimes assumes disguises because he has to sneak in. And it's not easy sneaking in when you've got someone as crabby as Jatila around and Kutila who's being trained up in crabbiness. You know, they're watching everything. If there is a hint of a movement in the shadows, well, they're onto it. So, Krishna disguises himself. Actually, there are many pastimes in which Krishna disguises himself as different persons, either to get past Jatila and Kutila, or sometimes when somehow Radharani is upset with Krishna, or apparently or transcendentally upset. One time, Krishna disguised himself as a female doctor and came into Yavat. Radharani was a little upset with Krishna. But Krishna came in and said, you know, I'm big doctor. I'm big, big doctor. I want to take your pulse reading. So, alright, took the pulse reading. Radharani immediately felt like an electric transcendental shock of ecstasy. Krishna said, yeah, you know, I need to take a reading further up the arm. And he started moving up the arm of Radha. And he said, wait a minute, you can't do that. And this is Krishna being tricky. One time Krishna came disguised as a female poet and told Radharani, I have written some beautiful poetry about you. And Krishna, disguised as the poet, started reciting this poem all about Radharani and the most intimate parts of her pastimes with Krishna in front of everyone. And Radharani became shocked. How does she know this about me? And stop saying these things in front of Jatila. So Krishna, he's a real character. One time, Krishna disguised himself as a demigoddess. And he came. There was Radharani with some of the other gopis in the forest. Krishna came disguised as a demigoddess and came in on the scene there, but acting like the demigoddess is acting, as if she is totally disturbed, just totally distressed and crying. And Radharani, very soft-hearted, sees this poor girl who's so upset and puts her arm around the demigoddess and asks, what's the matter? What's the matter? And the other gopis gather, what's the matter? And the demigoddess stops crying for about 2 seconds and just looks at Radharani and starts crying again, just uncontrollably. What's wrong? What's wrong? Demigoddess stops for a second or two and looks at Radharani and just starts crying and crying. And eventually Radharani insisted, you must tell us what happened. Did your husband leave you? Or were you not able to receive an uninvited guest properly? This is a serious thing, actually. Or have you married a rather stupid man? But now you have met a very wonderful man. And are you distressed about? What are you distressed about? And eventually the demigoddess said, you know, I am just so distressed because I feel so sorry for you, Radharani. I just feel so sorry. It breaks my heart. And she began crying uncontrollably again. And Radharani said, why? I'm all right. Don't be upset about me. Don't worry about me. I'm happy. And the demigoddess stopped crying and looked at her. And she started crying and crying. You are so innocent. You are so sweet. But you are so naive. You are attached to this rascal Krishna. You think he loves you, but I am a demigoddess. I live up there and I watch every day and I see what this rascal does. I know. He tells you, oh, I love you, and you mean the world to me. and what other things do you use? But anyway, you are my everything. And you believe him. But then he tells you, oh, I must go and assist my mother, Yashoda. Or I must go and herd the cows. He says something like that to you and he goes and you believe him. Oh, he had to go and herd the cows. But he goes and meets another girl. And he says the same things to her. And then he goes and meets another girl. And this is all he does. But you are so simple, innocent, trusting, and naive that you believe him. You don't know he doesn't love you. And the demigod is just broke down crying again. And she must be right around and said, no, it's not like that. He does love me. Demichelis stopped crying, looked at Radharani, and started crying again. Just listen to you. Even though I'm telling you these things, you still believe him. Oh, what? How can I convince you? He is a rascal. You have to kick him out. I insist. You must. How can I convince you? So it goes back and forth a bit like that. Radharani saying, no, it's not like that. He loves me, but there are all these other girls who love him. He really loves me, but they love him. So just to be nice to them, he goes and says a few words to them. But actually he loves me. And the demigod is, who is Krishna, don't forget, in disguise. So they're saying, you poor girl, I feel so bad. You are just too innocent and naive. I don't know what I can do to help you. I just feel so sad seeing you get abused like this. It breaks my heart. Radharani said, actually, you don't understand my relationship with Krishna. I know that he loves me more than anyone else. Much, much, much more. I know it. The demigod is, who is Krishna, said, how do you know that? What? This is just your naivety again. How can you say you know that he loves you more than anyone else? Radharani said, the reason is we are not two people. We are two halves of the one person. Therefore I know. Because I am him, and he is me, and I know that it's actually true. And the demigod said, oh, come on, please. Don't tell me something like that. You've gotten too carried away. Now you're identifying with this rascal Krishna. But Radharani was strong. It's like that. I know how he feels. So the demigoddess said, all right, if you and Krishna are one, call him here right now. Call him here right now. If you are one person, you can do it. Just bring him here right now. And Radharani said, all right. She sat down in meditation, closed her eyes, And now she's praying, Krishna, come here now. By the power of her meditation, her focus on Krishna, the demigod is suddenly zoom, transformed on the spot into Krishna. And all the other gopis were completely shocked. But Krishna told them, be quiet, don't say anything. Radharani is sitting there. Then Radharani opened her eyes. There is Krishna right there. And Radharani said, see, there he is. Here he is. I brought him because we are one. You see? And she looked around. Hey, where did that demigod go? And the gopi said, well, she said she had some other appointment. She had to go all the sun. And Krishna said, yeah, I was just out in the fields herding the cows, minding my own business. And suddenly something, I don't know what happened, the force got me and just dragged me here into the company of all you girls. What are you doing? So you see, and you know what happened? They all lived happily ever after. So there you go. Hare Krishna. Thank you.